You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that sells propane and propane accessories. I'm Cody, and I can't do a Hank Hill impression or I would have.
I'm Sam, and I can do a pretty good Hank Hill impression.
Well, hey there, Flat Top, I'm Buck Strickland in a really bad impersonation.
King of the Hill, everybody. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. A bunch of news we're going to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Come on, Cranky. Take it to the fridge.
I kind of wish we could have just rolled directly into the King of the Hill theme song and had that be our theme song.
In hindsight, if we knew we were going to do that intro, I would have definitely put a boo in there.
That's one
in
for the future.
That's one for the future. Oh, we need to make a list. We keep saying things we should add to the soundboard, but we just have not added anything to the soundboard.
Pocket sand. You know, that show is very, like, in the, like, when I was growing up, I don't think I appreciated it as much.
Nobody
as I probably
did.
Should have.
I liked it fine growing up, but it was never, like, must-see TV. But reflecting on it, it is a lot funnier than
I've gone back and rewatched it a couple times in, like, the last couple years. And
it's going back to look at it, and it's the most smartly written of all of the Fox animated shows.
I always go back to the Scrabble episode.
Boggle
with Peggy. Like shaking the hoo yeah.
Peggy is easily the worst character of the whole show.
I tend to agree. She needs to be that way, though. Yes, that's exactly it. She needs to be the worst character on the show. I was always a fan of Dale.
Dale's my favorite.
Yeah. The couple of episodes where Boomhauer slowed down, like, it's like there was it one where he it was him telling a story from his perspective.
Oh, that's and, the, when they're volunteer firefighters.
Yeah, and he's speaking very clearly,
and everyone else sounds like
Boomhauer. And there's one where he wants to propose to someone, and he goes to Grandma Boomhauer, and he walks up and. Now, Grandma, it's like he slows down. He's still slurring everything.
But she talks that
way. She talks like Boomhauer. Yeah.
I think that's the episode. Oh, yeah. That's the episode where he meets some woman who acts a lot like him.
Yes.
Like she's like.
Good time girl.
Yeah, she's a good time girl. Like, and she was just with Boomhauer for, you know, a good time, and he caught feelings, and she didn't.
Right.
And
yep.
Boomhauer learns a little something about respecting women.
Yep. Yeah. He actually goes back and, like, starts apologizing to, like, all his past girlfriends or whatever.
I like the one where Hank is fishing with crack. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, the crack, because he thought it was Jack's bait shop.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. Any episode that happened to have real-life musician Chuck Mangione.
Yeah.
It's a good time. The one where he was living inside the Megalomart had that toilet paper fort that he built inside the middle of Megalomart and
no one knew and the store thought they had rats.
Oh, the one where it was the two-parter where the Megalomart exploded and they were going to the survivors like counseling or whatever and he goes ever since the explosion every song I play sounds like Feels So Good and maybe it's because I feel so good. To be alive.
Yeah, because Hank gets PTSD from it because he was working at the Megalomart because
Strickland...
Buck closed the thing because they couldn't compete with Megalomart's propane prices.
Right, yeah.
And so he goes there to work there in the propane department, but then there's a propane leak and that causes the explosion. And Chuck's sitting there blowing in his... He's cleaning out his... Is it a trumpet?
Flugelhorn.
Is it a flugelhorn?
It's a flugelhorn. Yeah. It's not a full-blown trumpet. I should know, I have 4 Chuck Mangione albums.
Okay. But
based solely on
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
But he's sitting there blowing and it's making this hissing sound and Hank's like freaks out. He goes, there's a propane leak. Could you hear the hissing? And he like runs away and you just see Chuck just like.
It's cleaning out the spit trap in the flugelhorn. Yeah.
I think one of my favorite episodes is one that like brings Peggy down a peg. No, no pun intended.
Some pun intended.
The one where she is it the one where she goes to Mexico and can't speak Spanish?
Yes. Yeah, because she goes to Mexican jail because she accidentally kidnapped a Mexican girl. And so the stipulation of her being freed was she's an idiot and can't speak Spanish.
Yeah. All right, so
this has been Talking of the Hill.
Yeah. Will we get sued if we call our podcast Talking of the Hill?
Yeah. Yeah. We might not get sued, but Bob Mackie and Henry Gilbert will be very upset with us.
Yeah. Well, they'll never guest on this show.
Yeah. You could say we'll be Mike judged.
Oh, that too. Yeah. All right, let's move on to other stuff here. So check them out. I checked out one thing this week. I watched the 2020 movie based on the video game Monster Hunter. Turned it on thinking, okay, this is going to be a garbage action movie. It's going to be kind of enjoyably dumb. Boy, it sucked.
Well, you've really been striking out with movies like they would be enjoyably dumb, but end up just being dumb.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm on a bad streak, but like this movie. Now, granted, I don't have that much of a
frame of reference
for the Monster Hunter games. I haven't really played. The only Monster Hunter like game I've played, there was one for the 3DS that it was Final Fantasy based. Like it was Monster Hunter with a Final Fantasy skin over
that?
It. Because you played it too. Because we did a couple of raids there that one time.
I forget what it was called.
Yeah,
it was
it's like Crystal
game,
something
though.
Or other, I think. Something like that. Anyway, but I know what the basic gist of the game is. It's you're a hunter that goes out, you fight big monsters, and then you take their parts, build better our weapons and armor, and then you go and hunt bigger monsters.
Yes, that's rinse the and entire repeat. Progression.
That's the entire thing. And in a lip service sense, this movie does tick all the boxes. Mila Jovovich does have a giant sword at one point. She does have two knives that catch on fire. They do use a barrel as a trap. They do craft a weapon out of a monster. She does craft other things out of monsters. Rathalos is there.
Do they cook meat over a spit?
Not only do they cook meat over a spit, a palico cooks meat over a spit. They tick all the boxes, but it is in the blandest, like flattest, most brain dead way possible.
Now, does it play the little song while they cook the meat so you know how to get it to the right level of doneness?
I wouldn't know. I don't believe they do. They don't do that, but there is a point where the palico chef makes a whole bunch of steaks and then it like perfectly places like one tiny sprig of onion or something on top, which I guess is part of the animation for that.
Yeah.
And then there's a joke where the palico cat gets drunk, has been drinking the beer out of Ron Perlman's stein because there is a giant cat hair, like hairball, that he pulls out of his beer stein. But I'm making this movie sound like it's enjoyable. It's not. This movie tries to attach a plot to Monster Hunter, which in itself is a problem. They also try to attach a lot of, like, ground it in the real world, kind of.
Which, like, why would you even do that?
Yeah, so the movie starts on our Earth where a military platoon gets sucked into Monster Hunter world and they all end up getting killed one by one until it's just Mila Jovovich, and then Tony Jaa shows up and teaches her how to hunt with Monster Hunter weapons.
Private John Army Man drops his PSP in the sand and it shorts out.
Yeah. A giant lightning storm in the desert. That's all it is. Not too far off. Yeah. There are a couple. Mila Jovovich is really the only major star in the film. Like I mentioned, Ron Perlman is in it in an extended cameo where I thought they used prosthetics to make him look like a gorilla, but no, that's just his face.
That's just Ron Perlman's face.
He would have made a good, like, village chief.
He is the village chief.
Okay, well, that...
He's called the Admiral, and he is a Denzian of that world where they speak a different language, but he has been studying our world's language for years.
Somehow.
Because of books that he found. So he just happens to have a New York accent. Also, the rapper T.I. is in it as one of Mila Jovovich's platoon mates. He's in it for maybe 20 minutes. He starts the movie by singing badly and ends the movie by having a bunch of baby spiders explode out of his chest. No, if you want to watch a movie where Mila Jovovich gets beat up continuously for the first 40 minutes.
So it's like a Tomb Raider reboot.
A little bit. Yeah. If you like seeing that stuff, this movie's for you, but I didn't quite enjoy it, which is a weird thing that she gets beat up so much in the first half of this movie, because this movie was written, directed, and executive produced by her husband, Paul W.S. Anderson, who I swear I believe his career is solely to provide movies for Mila Jovovich, his wife, to star in.
and to make money for Capcom, apparently.
Capcom and Sony.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because all those Resident Evil movies.
All of the Resident Evil movies. And before that, he also did the first Mortal Kombat movie. That was like one of his first films. And you know what? This movie looks a lot. Like, if you update the CG to today's, well, maybe not today's standard, but like maybe 5 years ago standard. But like the same framing and the shots and like the flatness and everything of the original Mortal Kombat movie is the same thing. Same thing. I got bored halfway through. So I started, you know, you get bored with a movie. I checked the time twice on the movie to see if it was almost done.
This
movie is 90 minutes long.
Wow.
And I checked the time twice.
Wow, that's not a good sign.
It's not. It's super not. But one of the things on IMDb, you know, they have the trivia or whatever. And someone explained the plot of, like, started explaining, you know, military platoon gets sucked into an unfamiliar environment. The team is whittled down to only one lone survivor while they take control, you know, take back, fight against an overpowered end boss. And it ends on a cliffhanger. And then they say, this is the plot to Resident Evil, which is the same. If you swap out Big Monster for zombies, it's the same movie.
Rathalos, Nemesis, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Also, one of the trivia Predator. Is this movie ends in a cliffhanger, much like Paul W.S. Anderson's other movie, Mortal Kombat. Do not recommend.
That movie didn't end in a cliffhanger.
Yes, it did. The first one, Shao Kahn shows up and he says that your souls will be mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
It's been a long time since I watched that movie.
I wish I would have gotten a chance to play that Mortal Kombat New Era
game. Oh, man, that looks so good and so bad.
Yeah. But I did not get a chance to play it, so I can't talk about that.
Oh, Razor Ramon looks over OP in that Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, if you want to play a Mortal Kombat fan game that includes several wrestlers in its cast.
And also Homer Simpson.
Foreign Homer. It's like a Spanish Homer or something.
It's like Spanish Homer Simpson and at least four or five different versions of Sub-Zero.
Yeah, including Absolute Zero.
Absolute Zero. So lame.
And like five different characters whose names are like Acid or Slime or Toxic.
Yeah.
Wait, so the symbiotes from Spider-Man?
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's definitely like a 14-year-old Mortal Kombat fan's notebook brought to life on your computer. Uh-huh. And I need to check it out. It's called Mortal Kombat New Era. I mean, if you Google it, you can find it.
Yeah, get it quick because...
Huge download. It's like four gigs.
Really?
Which is a lot for like a fan production.
That's a lot.
But it
does
have like 80 characters or something. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I do like that the fatalities are like, they look like they're easy input.
Yeah, all of Razor Ramon's were like up, up, up. Or
yeah,
down,
up,
down,
up,
down.
Up, up, down, 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 whatever. And his arm would turn into a blade like the T-1000.
I mean, his name's Razor.
Yeah, yeah. They got to do something.
They got to do something. Yeah.
And it uses the graphics from that weird WrestleMania game?
I think so, yeah.
It has digitized photo graphics like Mortal Kombat, so they like weirdly mix in.
Including everyone's favorite wrestler, Doink the Clown.
Didn't have Yokozuna.
It didn't.
And he's in that game, so it would just take, you know.
Well, they already had E. Honda from Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
Yeah, it has several Street Fighter characters, but they're all from the movie, the game.
If you wanted to play as Raul Julia as M. Bison in a Mortal Kombat fan game,
it's available.
You can do it. We might have to play this on stream sometime. Yeah. That would be great.
When you downloaded this game, it was the greatest day of your life. When I downloaded this game, it was just a Tuesday.
It was only Tuesday.
As we sit here and look at the bison dollar in the background.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, thanks, Matt McMuscles, for pointing out that absolute banger of a video game. Yeah,
right. I feel like I've been talking a lot. Well, you guys, what have you guys been checking out?
Honestly, haven't been doing a whole lot because of school and work.
School and work, yeah.
I started playing Valheim and I made a character and then I did, that was all I did.
Well, it's a start.
Yeah.
It's a start.
I mean, that's how survival games are. It's a start.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I just thought, have you seen the last episode of WandaVision?
Yes.
Have you seen it? I have seen it. I don't think we're going to talk about it this week because I want to have a full-blown, spoiler-filled discussion about it, and I think it warrants giving an extra week for our listeners to get a chance to watch it so they don't get spoiled. So be prepared. Next week, we are going to be talking about WandaVision like as a whole.
I mean, it definitely did go like full like MCU movie there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it felt so... I don't want to get into it too much.
Yeah, let's not get into it then.
It felt so much more earned than it does in regular MCU stuff. But that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah, yeah, move on. We'll move on.
Teaser.
Teaser. Yeah, that's your teaser.
Yeah.
That's your sizzle. That's your sizzle.
Yeah. You know, one thing we did just do, we did just watch and get the Power Rangers light switch ready.
Oh, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah.
You took it down.
I did take the Power Ranger light switch down.
We took away your power, Cody.
Yeah.
You know, it might have stopped working from overuse.
It might have. That's very true. But no, we watched the first episode of the newest version of the Japanese version of Power Rangers, the Super Sentai season, Zenkaiger. I don't know how much I want to talk about it because, frankly, not a whole lot of people like to listen to that kind of discussion.
That's
why we had the button. But it was very good.
I have
good
friends that listen to the show that are Sentai fans.
Hey, there you go. Okay. It is, it's actually really good. This is it's the 45th season.
Yep,
so
it's an anniversary season.
It's an anniversary season, which they do every 5 years. Ever since Gokaiger, the pirate season went really well.
Man, that one was so good.
It was very good. But every 5 years, they do an anniversary season. And this one, everyone's robots, like all of the Rangers. Well, four out of five Rangers are robots. And it's a really interesting take on the premise on the show.
One guy's not a robot, but his bird is.
His bird sure is, yes.
I like the fact that they opened up the episode with the original Sentai team.
Yes.
Go Ranger.
Go Ranger. Yeah, that was a good intro.
With their cheesy intro and everything.
Oh, I didn't get to see it. That's what I get for being late.
That's it, yeah.
And his visor on his helmet is reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
Where it's not like a smoked visor, it's a thing with holes drilled into it.
It's a solid visor that they poke holes through so the actor could see through it. But yeah, it's really good. I mean, YouTube, you can probably go on YouTube and try to find it if you can, or there are places online that you can find it. I guarantee this will not be a season that gets translated into English.
Nope.
It's too much fun.
Guarantee it. In fact, Hasbro, there's a rumor that they have ended their license deal with Toei. So starting next season, they might be just producing their own versions of the show, which I think they're probably going to go back to the original Mighty Morphin costumes and just make all American footage with new actors.
I mean, it's probably cheaper fresh for Hasbro.
At this point, it's probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah, now that Hasbro owns all the rights to that stuff because they bought it from Saban.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I guess Shout Factory is not doing DVD sets of Sentai anymore. They finally decided after 10 seasons of it that it's not, they're not selling enough.
Not the moneymaker they thought it would be.
Not quite.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah,
I bought one of those.
Yeah, I bought a couple of them, and I mean,
I bought the Zoo Ranger one.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help that they sold them for $40 a pop.
Oh, yeah.
It's 50 episodes.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I liked if you are a fan of Sentai and you followed the history of it, like, well, Sam, and then Sam got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of references. There's a lot of from all kinds of stuff. Like, you got the guy yelling their special attacks like they did in Gokaiger.
Yeah.
There's
very reminiscent of Gokaiger.
Well, yeah, which was, you know, one of their big successes. That mm-hmm. series had three movies.
It did.
And a crossover.
Yeah.
I don't have the nostalgia for it, and I'm pretty ambivalent to it in its
sure.
entirety.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope that the show keeps up the momentum that it has. The thing with these Japanese, the superhero time, the Sentai, and the Kamen Rider stuff that they do every season, they have a history of pumping a ton of money into the first 10 episodes and then basically start stockpiling funds for the next season's first 10 episodes. So by the end of the series, a lot of times you're fighting in front of black voids. On sound stages,
they're slamming two action figures together.
Around the time that they start going to the rock quarry.
Oh yes, the famous Sentai rock quarry.
The rock quarry, or the irrigation pipe farm.
Yeah. Parking garage.
Parking yeah. garage. Yeah, there's a lot of parking garage. Back in the 80s and early 90s, they had a licensing deal with a with an amusement park. The Rindo Family Fun Park. And every season for like 10 years, there was an episode or two where they would go and have a fight at the Rindo Family Fun Park, all while like visiting the hot springs and the
having a good time at the Rindo Family Fun Park.
Exactly. Yes. That's literally, yeah, it's like, it takes the 20-minute runtime, and 15 minutes of it is ad for Rindo Family Fun Park.
Boy, Green Ranger, I sure am having a good time at the Rindo Family Fun Park.
Yep.
But
does
you know
it
when
still
they go
exist, is there still?
Oh no, it doesn't exist anymore.
You know when they go to the rock quarry, though, they have to like wait their turn because Doctor Who's filming their episode there.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
They got to get the man in a silver spandex suit to leave, like, coming out of a cave.
When the, because the enemies are robots, robot people, again.
Yeah.
The grunt enemies, kind of, like, when they first showed up, I was like, I had to fight myself not to make a Cybermen joke.
They looked like Cybermen with weird spears that have Japanese electric plugs on the end.
Every classic Doctor Who bad guy is a man in a silver jumpsuit coming out of a cave.
This makes me want to watch more like classic Doctor Who.
Yeah, I haven't watched classic Who in forever.
It's really funny when you go back and watch like really old Doctor Who and when they bring the Daleks in and you can hear them pedaling the bikes on the inside of the Dalek,
the little big wheels inside there.
Yeah, they
have a little like little bike like chain like cha-ching cha-ching.
Like it straight up sounds like a pedal car when they're going across the
this
screen.
Costume works my core.
Instead of the whisk, it should be a bike horn. Yeah. Yeah. Exterminate.
Calm down there, King Zog.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Harry Carey here. You're listening to Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I sang it myself, and I did a great job. Cubs win.
That's right. Harry Carey is still alive, and he lives here
in the Nerd Overload studio.
I live in this nerd's basement.
He leaves me plenty of peanuts and Bud Light.
He leaves me a lot of nice, cool Budweisers.
Cracker Jack.
I don't care if I ever get back.
And he never did. That was Take Me Out to the Ball Game, performed by late, great Harry Carey.
That's right.
The Cubs announcer.
That's right. So with that, let's go ahead and get into some news.
Hi, everybody.
I made my own soundboard there.
Yeah. just put him in the box with the Christmas creep.
Yeah. We're gonna have to.
We're gonna have to. He's gonna go in the Christmas creep box. Anyway, so we played we had a very baseball centric intro to the show because we have a little bit of news. Semi-baseball related.
It's not baseball, but if you put an L in there.
Yeah. So the online statistics sport Blazeball has come back after a long siesta.
Oh, yeah. It was a long time.
It was a couple months. Yeah. So Blazeball, for folks who don't know, it is an AI-run baseball league. That it's all done online. It's all simulated, and it's all just the stats. So there are like, what, a couple dozen fake teams, and they just, you know, every hour on the hour, they start another game, and they just roll through the stats, and usually it takes about 30 minutes to go through each game. And
there's a little play-by-play of each game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and by the end of the week, an entire season is done. They go through the World Series and everything, and then they start the next season. The thing that makes this super fun is they've introduced a lot of wacky, really weird, some things I honestly can't follow some of the stuff that's going on it.
It's fantasy baseball with an emphasis on the fantasy part.
Yes.
But not like elves and orcs.
Yet.
Yeah,
It could happen.
It's like a kind of a dark, weird universe where baseball players can...
It's Welcome to Night Vale, but baseball statistics.
That was exactly what I was going to say. It's like if you're playing a baseball game in Night Vale.
Yeah, that's it. But so games would have one of the things they set up every game. They have different weather patterns, but it's not like rain, snow, sunshine, whatever. It's a black hole that if one team scores 10 runs in a game, it will absorb those 10 runs and the team automatically loses. Or
peanuts,
which I'm not sure it does.
If a player eats a peanut, they become shelled, which means they're trapped inside of a large peanut and cannot play.
Okay. There's one where giant birds of prey will swoop down and randomly pick up players and take them off, and that they'll be gone for games at a time.
That's just baseball in Australia.
The new expansion. Yeah.
They need Randy Johnson in there to take care of those birds.
Take care of those birds, yeah. Oh, God.
There's my sports reference.
There it is. There it is.
My extremely specific sports reference.
But no, they, but like.
Players can get incinerated by rogue umpires and just be dead forever.
Yep.
Or not forever, because they can also be brought back to life in certain conditions.
The player that I've been following, Versalis Sunday, during a bloody rainstorm, had a vampiric transfusion and sucked the energy out of another player and became extra strong.
Okay.
It's a yeah.
Yeah, every player has a set of stats that affect how they perform, and then some of them you can't even see. They're secret stats.
Yeah. Oh, no, there is an item now that allows you to see secret stats.
Uh-huh.
I can actually see all of the secret stats. In fact, should I pull up Blazeball now? I've been putting it off because I want to keep staring at it because it's addictive to watch.
Wasn't there a player that had a grappling hook in their chest or something?
Probably.
I mean, there's a lot of fan art that people do for these, and the people have made fake trading cards for some of the all-star players like Baby Doyle and Pitching Machine, who is a literal pitching machine. Although is no longer a pitcher, he is a batter for the Ohio Worms.
And his name, letters from his name were stolen. Somehow.
Oh, yeah. He was sucked into another dimension and fought his way back, but in the process was scrambled. And some of his letters in his name are just gone. Now it's pitching acne?
Samantha's gotten really into it lately.
Oh, she has.
Because it's so easy to do.
It's easy.
Not super time consuming.
It's just something you go to on their website and check every once in a great while, and that's it.
She's really into the Yellowstone Magic.
Oh, really?
And their player, who's also a frog named Chorby Short. He's a little frog with a wizard or witch hat on.
I've seen pictures of Versalis Sunday, and she is a, it looks like Poison Ivy, but her hair is an upside down ice cream cone.
Yeah, every
because
player,
her blood type is grass, so they assume she's yeah.
Every player has kind of a universally decided on like look.
Kind.
It's not even universal. Like people go different ways with it, but they like there's like a weird consensus to most of them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so some of the secret stats: anti-capitalism, base thirst, cinnamon.
Mm.
I don't know. Let's see, what are some of my favorite ones? Laser likeness,
huh.
Overpowerment, muscleitude, thwackability.
That probably affects batting.
I think so. Shakespeareanism. Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other ones, but it's pretty great. Buoyancy.
I mean,
guess
you
that's
know,
important
for floods.
I guess it is important for floods, which is another type of
weather phenomenon.
And then by the end of the season, what you do is you're basically, you don't pay a single, like nothing is advertised. You don't put any actual real world money into this at all. And there's no way to, but it's all fake, like currency or whatever. And you're betting on the outcomes of the games so that you can get items to help your team down the road.
Or you can buy votes so that change the rules of the game entirely between seasons.
Yes. Yeah. That is the other really important aspect of it. I love it. It's great. It's a great time killer.
Yeah.
Just go on the website for 30 seconds, check it and go. I wish there was an app. That way I wouldn't have to open up my my browser every single time. But otherwise.
That would be really convenient. I'm kind of surprised there isn't one.
There's unofficial.
Blazes Loaded is a... It's a bad one. I don't like it. It doesn't work very well, but it is an app.
Somebody coded a visualizer that took the assets from Wii Sports Baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And visualized the baseball games as they happen, but it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, bummer.
They changed too much of the underlying code of baseball during the siesta that it's broken now.
The siesta. That's what they call during the breaks.
And the off-season.
The off-season is the siesta. Yeah. Blazeball.
Yeah. It's great.
It's a lot of fun. It's very fun. So let's move on to some other stuff. Well, someone pick a thing off our big board. Well,
I was going to say part of me wants them to make official merchandise, but the other part of me doesn't want some sort of like concrete idea of what something is in baseball.
I agree.
Like as soon as they make trading cards, then, oh, this is officially what Jalen Hot Dog Fingers looks like. And that loses some of the imaginative
nature of the thing. I am concerned. I'm glad they took some time off, and I'm glad the game, while popular, is not like hugely popular, because I can see this going the way of Night Vale. By that I mean it gets so huge so quickly that you get so many diehard fans that
it turns you off to the
it turns
the
yeah
thing as
you're
a whole.
You're not enjoying this thing the right way.
Yeah,
and I don't
or
want
like,
that to happen.
You're trying to see a live show, but there's someone there wearing a full kimono for some reason.
Yes. Yes. Not that would happen in real life, or did that one time.
It was a great show.
It was a great show, but
I don't want people like trying to play Blazeball like they do with Quidditch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's...
Which never made sense as a game to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's move on.
Let's move on to something else. Yeah, so let's pick something from the board. What do we got?
There's a new Ninja Turtles game coming out.
Yes, there is.
And this one doesn't look like some sort of Nickelodeon-produced shovelware like I think most of them are.
The last couple, for sure. Yeah, no, this one it looks a lot like the old arcade Turtles in Time. And it's fantastic. Yeah. That's a great old... it's arcade, but it's like 16-bit arcade almost, right?
Yeah, that's everybody's favorite.
Yo, sure. Yeah, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, just like... Turtles in Time, and what is it called? Shredder's Revenge?
Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah.
And it's made by the same people who made the Scott Pilgrim versus the World
game. So it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty good.
Some of the people at Tribute worked on that game. Because they weren't quite Tribute yet when they made the Scott Pilgrim game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then the article I was reading about it, they even brought back the whole thing where you're launching like foot soldiers at the screen.
Oh, and that's the best. That, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Well, what are Tribute's other games? Panzer Paladin.
Yes.
Oh, that's the one with the robot. Yeah.
That's a great game. Yeah.
Flint Hook,
by the way,
which is also great.
Yeah.
They had another one that was real big, and I'm blanking on what it was.
I'm curious to see, I don't know. I'm curious to see what big band they
tap
get
for it
for the main theme, because Panzer Paladin had.
Oh, it's the guy from Faith No More sings the theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's well, that's it then, because I mean, Scott Pilgrim had Onomatoguchi, and Panzer Paladin, their main thing was theme was made by Power Glove, the metal band that covers old video game songs.
Mercenary Kings. That's the one I could.
Oh,
think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That was probably their. One of their biggest ones.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It's a metal, basically Metal Slug and Monster Hunter put together.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But no, this game looks fantastic, and it's going to be on all consoles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And PC.
And PC, but hey...
The biggest console of them all.
But yeah, it just looks great.
I'm surprised nobody did this before. It seems like something that's just screaming to be done.
Yeah.
Even the Platinum Games Turtle game was meh.
There's a couple stinkers that Platinum kind of.
Yeah.
The Transformers.
The Transformers
game.
One is not super.
I think it was all the stuff they did for Activision. I think it was. That was kind of. It's probably Activision's fault.
Well. yeah.
I mean, the Transformers was all right. I mean, it wasn't any like, you know. War for Cybertron, because High Moon, because those were really good.
It wasn't up to the standard you would think that Platinum would do. It's
yeah.
not a pure Platinum.
yeah, yeah.
Pure Platinum.
Yep. So so The Simpsons got picked up for another couple seasons.
And it did.
Yep. 34 and 35?
Because it'll never end.
I don't... Yeah, this... It's...
It is the longest TV show... Ever.
And, well, I know, Days of Our, or not Days of Our Lives.
One of the soap operas. Yeah.
Soap operas, you know, they last forever. But Simpsons is kind of, it's honing in on it. It's
the longest animated show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But,
and I don't want to be like, oh, New Simpsons is bad and terrible, but like it kind of is. But also, that's really just like a hackneyed conversation.
It is a hackneyed conversation, but maybe it's not bad, but the writers have had to have changed to the point where what they want to put on the show no longer lines up with the older audience. And I think that's what the difference is. I don't think it's just become, oh, Simpsons bad. No, it's good, but just not.
It's not for you anymore.
It's not, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, though. Outside of Halloween episodes, I have not watched a new Simpsons since probably after the movie.
I think the Halloween episode, the last Halloween episode they put out was the last one I've watched, too.
Yeah, I haven't watched too many after the movie either. I kind of. To be honest, if they were going to end it, I kind of wish they would have ended it at
with the movie.
And I thought the movie was great.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. There were a handful of episodes that I watched after the movie, and for a while, the show seemed to have a pretty heavy-handed religious kind of bent to it. It was like the episode where Homer was hired out to teach people how to do the end zone dance or the halftime show for the Super Bowl or whatever. And it ended up being a big production that Flanders got involved with, and it became a kind of a religious thing. And there were a handful of them that, It felt weird. And I don't want to say it didn't feel like Simpsons, but something wasn't quite clicking like it used to, like those earlier seasons, and that's kind of when I fell off of it.
And there's still like a lot of incredibly talented people that work on Simpsons.
Yeah,
and they put a lot of work into coming up with something for them to do every week,
which at
this point has to be borderline impossible.
Yeah, it's got to be really difficult to not repeat themselves over and over. And you can only say, "Hey, didn't we do this before?" Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So many times before it gets old.
That works about twice.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep. Yep. But
Monorail.
Did they? I wonder if they've done a sequel to the Monorail. They probably have.
Probably. Any plot that we know from the first 10 years, they've probably done a sequel to it.
I don't know. I remember the one episode where they brought in Homer's coworker Grimes.
Oh, Frank.
Frank Grimes.
Frank yeah.
Grimey.
And then Grimey. Yeah. And then they like Homer's going on and on about all his exploits, and it's all references to past things, like when Homer went to space and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole concept for that episode is like, this is ridiculous. All these things that Homer has done, it's impossible. What if we transplanted an actual
person
into this world? Like, how would you react? And you would die.
Yeah. You end up dying. Yeah.
Wasn't he like struck by lightning or
something? No, he shoved a fork into a light socket or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah.
Homer would do to demonstrate that like Homer does this dumb crap all the time.
Yeah.
Why isn't he dead?
I'm going to be incredibly unsafe, but who cares? I'm Homer Simpson. Zap, dead.
And his tombstone says Grimey.
Grimey, yeah. Frank Grimey Grimes. they did do a sequel to it because he had a long-lost son that showed up to try to exact revenge on Homer Simpson.
Oh that's a...
Which happened in like season 16 or 17. So they definitely did that.
Remember the one where Homer got an assistant at work and it was Harvey Fierstein?
Yeah.
What happened to that character?
Oh, who knows?
Did Hank Scorpio ever come back?
No.
No.
Actually, I think there's a reason why, and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, Scorpio didn't come back.
I thought maybe he came back like in like a background or something like for like one of the future episodes.
Oh, they probably used him in a crowd shot.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they do that a lot.
Oh, never mind. I watched the movie and I think he's in a crowd shot in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would be willing to give Simpsons another shot. I mean, it's not like I'm upset that they're getting more show to do, but
it does kind of feel like kind of like a again kind of thing. I don't know. Like we had so many great I'm torn about it because
We sound like the oldest men having this conversation, but let's continue.
But there are so many shows that I was like, oh, man, that stinks that show ended so early.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other shows that, you know, I end up, you know, loving initially and becoming, it's been going on forever kind of thing.
I am a fan of shows
that tell their story.
They tell their story. They get in. They tell their story. They get out. They have a definitive ending, and they don't stay so long that they become bland, repetitive, mm-hmm. boring, that sort of thing. And Simpsons, it's kind of been that in that holding pattern for a long time.
I mean, I was kind of like that with Adventure Time. Like, I initially loved it.
Yes.
It got to the point where I'm like, oh, 9 seasons, this seems a bit much.
Yes.
Though the ending of Adventure Time was really, really good.
But would that ending have hit better if they did it, say, 3 seasons earlier?
I feel like there was probably a time there where the storylines kind of lined up, they probably could have got the same ending.
This is the Office argument all over again.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the Office should have ended the first time at Jim and Pam's wedding. It should have ended the second time when Michael Scott left. And then we ended up with 3 seasons of Andy as the boss. And that stunk.
Nobody wanted that.
That stunk on ice. So, yeah, it's the Office argument.
Also, I still stand by they should have did the Dwight spinoff at his farm.
Oh, yeah, the Shroot Farms. Yeah, that would have been great.
Also, can we agree that Jim was like kind of a jerk after a while?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A huge jerk, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost irredeemably so.
And yeah, in hindsight, what was seen as, you know,
just boys being boys pranking is like actually just him harassing Dwight for no good reason.
I wasn't even really talking about that. I was more talking about like the stuff later on.
Breaking up Pam's relationship with...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, Roy was kind of a dickhead, but also...
I don't know. Like he just came like real tooly after he left and came back.
Yeah.
When he went to the other office and came back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was not great. Not
and Rashida Jones was there and
oh yeah,
but
yeah,
I
yeah.
like Rashida Jones, yeah. so you know.
Randall
so,
Park was in an episode of The Office. Everybody forgets that. But he was Asian Jim.
Nobody ever forgets that.
No,
that pops up online
actually,
all
I
over the place.
I read an article. He forgot. He
oh,
was
he
on
did?
The Office.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, that's a really, that was like probably one of my favorite Jim pranks.
Yeah. There's so many people saying, all these people saying they should, we should get John Krasinski to play Reed Richards for the Fantastic Four are forgetting that he's already in the MCU. And then they put up a picture of Randall Park from WandaVision.
Yeah, he's
that's a good joke the first time yeah. I saw it. Maybe not the 75th, but you know.
He said in an interview that he forgot he was in The Office and people would come up to him and call him Asian Jim. And he's like, why are you saying that to me? Is this some kind of racist thing? I don't. Like, and then, yeah, then he remembers, oh, yeah, I was on The Office.
As a one-off gag.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So this has been the water cooler.
The Office podcast.
Yeah.
And Talking Simpsons.
God. Yeah. All right, so we have time for one more news topic, so let's make it a good one. And by introing it, I have taken the onus off myself of picking.
Roblox went public. Popular children's Minecraft knockoff Roblox. That's not what it is. I don't know. My experience with Roblox is little to none, but the company that makes it went public and is apparently worth more than six Bethesdas.
Roblox, is that the knockoff Lego?
It does sound like it.
No, that's
Mega.
They used to be called Mega Blocks, but now they're called something else. Mega Construct is what they're called.
Oh, okay. Well, Roblox are just those little figures, right?
No, like, it's
those figures are based on the video game.
Yeah.
Oh,
the game is like
it's a video game. Okay.
A service that lets you make other games within it.
So it is kind of Minecraft a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's very Minecraft inspired, I would say, but it's a bigger tool for creation of games.
Interesting. And that's, I mean, good on them for going, you know, having their business go public and, you know,
just explode apparently.
Yeah. I mean, to give some context, Bethesda is a very, very big game developing company that Xbox or Microsoft just bought
for like a bajillion dollars.
Yeah, like a couple. Was it a billion or was it at least a couple hundred million?
If it wasn't a billion, it was close.
Yeah, so six times that for Minecraft with characters that look like
that are constantly
that look like bad Legos.
They're constantly T-posing.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, good on them. That's great.
Neat.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they paid $7.5 billion.
Okay, so that's at least 42. That's at least 50 billion is what they are expecting this company to be worth stocks wise. But hey,
huh? Okay.
I mean, I've dipped a toe into it once maybe, and I played like a 3D Mario fan game that somebody made.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a janky 3D Mario that a kid probably made. But
oh,
like,
okay.
But it's probably a great tool for kids to use to learn about, you know, programming and STEM stuff.
That's cool. That's cool, at least. But yeah, congrats, Roblox. You did it. I don't know how to end that one.
Yeah.
Confetti, fanfare.
Let's hit Switch Plus real quick.
Let's hit it real quick. Yeah,
I forget the name. Bloomberg.
Yeah, Bloomberg.
Bloomberg put out a report saying that Nintendo's going to make a Switch Plus and that it's going to have a OLED screen and 4K output when it's docked.
Mm-hmm.
And
a 720p handheld.
Yeah.
And this is not surprising. Nintendo hasn't made any official announcement on this, but it does not surprise me one bit. Long enough. It's time for a revision of the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
They do it all the time.
I would gladly buy a new Switch. It feels, it's feeling real creaky these days.
A little bit. I would as well. I hope that there is an easy way to transfer all of your stuff over from one to the other.
Because right now it's not.
It's yeah. not the best. I think they're going to have to get that kind of in play because before they do anything. Because people, I know, given the option, I don't know if I'd want to get rid of my Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild save or my Animal Crossing Island just to get crisper,
a more powerful Switch.
Get those aliases anti'd.
I just hope they don't do like what they did with the 3DS when they went from the DS to the 3DS, you know, making a whole new type of game that doesn't work on the old model.
Oh, like I don't think they would do that.
The new 3DS they did. But then there was only like two games that you needed the new 3DS for, which...
One was Monster Hunter, which wraps around to the beginning of the show. But I don't think they would do that. I think much in the way that the...
Game Boy Advance went to Game Boy Advance SP.
Right. Or the PS4 to PS5. A lot of the games are getting up conversions or... if you have one downloaded digital on the PS4, you're getting either a very cheap or a free upgrade to the PS5 cleaner version. And I think that would be a really good way to kind of mitigate some of that kind of negative feelings towards having to buy all new hardware for your gaming experience.
But then on the other hand, people have been talking about the new version of the Switch since the original version of the Switch came out.
That's true.
And that's like, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
I remember people saying, I'll just wait till the updated version comes out.
Yeah.
When it came out. And it's like, you don't know that's going to even happen. And we still really don't.
We don't know for sure, but let's face it.
It's speculation.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like this is going to be the end all be all, the end.
And
Nintendo makes no more systems.
The Switch is too popular to do a straight up new console too.
Yeah.
Or they'll find themselves in the Wii U situation all over again.
Yep. That's what they need to avoid. Absolutely.
Oh, and they know they need to avoid it because they flat out admit every time that the Wii U was a mistake.
From the naming all the way down to just everything, like naming it the Wii U, you would think, "Oh, this is an add-on to the Wii, like you just buy the pad and that's an extra thing."
Which they could have just called it the Wii 2 and
they could
it would have been set.
It would have been good.
Super Wii.
Yeah. Yeah. So, would you call this the Switch Plus or the Super Nintendo Switch?
Oh, I hope they call it the Super Switch.
That would be great.
I don't think they'll do Switch Pro because there's too much crossover with other products they have, like the Pro Controller.
Yeah.
Because then you've got, grandma coming to the store thinking, I got to buy a Pro Controller for my Pro Switch.
Yeah.
It's too confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it comes out, I'll upgrade eventually. I won't rush out day one like I did with the Switch, but I'll,
Nintendo Switch SP.
Yeah.
It's got a clamshell design and a backlight. Actually, that would be rad.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Clamshell design.
That would be,
I would like to not have my screen exposed.
Yep. Agreed. All right, well, hey, we have actually hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com or give us a call in the Nerd Overload hotline, 586-372-8020. Leave us a message and we might play it on the show.
That's right. You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in and we will be back next week.
Your voicemail prompt for this week is, what's the best baseball team?